Blog Talk Radio.
Live from the bold and beautiful city of Jacksonville, Florida. I am your host, Dr. Mary Smith McCoy, and we are so delighted to have you a part of our broadcasting radio. We want you to call a neighbor, call a friend, and let them know that the Crossroad broadcast is on the air. For this is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and we will be glad in it. We had an exciting time last week talking about middle age. There were many things that I'm quite sure that many of you was able to gain knowledge, and why sometimes you or other people may go through stages of middle age, and what is actually what your mindset may be, or what you may be thinking about middle age. So at this time, we get ready to go before the throne of grace, and then we're going to come back, and we're going to have one of our counselors to come and to talk to us about the causes of middle age problems, and that will be coming from Dr. Gloria Castor. But first of all, let us go to the throne of grace. Our Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you. Praise you, God. We magnify your name. We thank you, dear God, for all that you have done, all, God, that you're going to do according to your word. We thank you, God, that your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. Thank you, Father, for once again giving us the opportunity, God, to be able to teach your word, being able, Father God, to enlighten the hearts of the people as Christian counselors. Lord, we ask you, God, even as we talk to them, we ask you, God, to speak to us. We realize, God, that you are the greatest counselor. We know and we realize that you are the Prince of Peace and you are the Alpha and Omega. So, Lord, we ask you, God, to touch hearts, touch minds, and souls today, that, God, that they will get a greater understanding and revelation as to what you have given us on today. So this, we thank you and we praise you for all that you have done and all you're going to do according to your word. We just want to thank you, God, and we ask you, God, to have your way, God, even now. We would like, again, to welcome you to the Crossroad broadcast. I'm Dr. Mary Smith McCoy. We thank God for Dr. Gloria Castor and Dr. June Normil. So at this time, as we said before, we were talking about middle age on last week. And today we're going to begin our broadcast with the causes of middle age. We're getting ready to go to Dr. Gloria Castor. And why don't you just get ready? You might need to take some notes. You may need just to meditate on what she is saying later. So get that pen, get that pad, and get ready as you hear the woman of God, who is a professional in her own right, to come to you to speak to you about the causes of middle age. Dr. Gloria Castor, we would like to welcome her to the Crossroad broadcast.
Thank you, Dr. McCoy, to radio panel and to all of the radio audience. I consider it an honor and a pleasure to be before you today to talk about the causes of middle-age problems. And as I began to, and I know we've talked about middle-age problems in the Bible, but I just wanted to touch a little bit on some of the ages of the patriarchs and how, you know, middle age can have an effect on what we do, how we do, how we feel, how we think. And so I just wanted to touch a little bit on that and then get to where people kind of cut off with when you're going into a middle age, what is the age for middle age. And if we look at our Bible in the book of Genesis, we see that the patriarchs who lived before the flood had an average lifespan of about 900 years. The age of the post-flood patriarchs has dropped rapidly and gradually leveled off in Genesis 11. Some suggest that this was due to the major environment and changes brought about by the flood. And as we look at Adam lived to be 930 years, but we look at Methuselah, he lived 969 years. But as we proceed on and after the flood, we know that it said Noah lived 950 years. But when we get down to Shem, he lived 600 years. And then Eber, on down further, lived 464 years. And then we get down to Abraham. He was 175 years. Jacob was 147 years. But when we get down to Joseph, it goes to 110 years. Now, we have heard of people who have lived in our day and time to be 106, 10. I don't know if I've heard of anybody 10, but I know 105. So that is a long lifespan to live. We know that we have been promised three scores and 10, which is 70 years, but then it tells us even if we can live even longer after that. So when we look at what we call today, most people, middle-aged activates our deepest anxieties and decline and dying. So we know as we get older in age, people begin to think that, you know, you're getting older, your time is getting shorter, and the most stress and fear in early childhood is that there's no life after youth. Young adults often feel that it's past 30 to be over the hill. Middle age is a peak also for divorce. Middle age crisis may affect both men and women, causing relationship problems resulting in relationship breakdown. Women experience the menopause, a huge psychological change which can alter their appearance and emotional state, and the existence of male life crisis has long been debated, and although there are a few psychological changes, this is clearly a time of change and reflection of both sexes. Now, many people experience a feeling of general dissatisfaction at this stage in their life and often face similar issues. We know that childbearing ends. We know that this can be difficult for some women who have a strongly defined role as a mother and nurturer. In addition, their children may have left home and leaving them with a sense of redundancy as a parent. Insecurity at work, you know, when you get age 40 and to the mid-50s, you may be in an insecure position at work because a lot of times when they think you've gotten older, that they want to kind of downsize, and when they downsize, they'll downsize probably with you, particularly if you had, you know, maybe a retirement or whatever. They probably would let you go before they would some of the other younger people. Few promotion prospects, meaning you could be facing some routine things, changes for the next 10 to 20 years. For others, this may be a time when job security becomes more uncertain, as companies sometimes choose to dispense with their higher pay and older staff. Feeling old, you can feel the effects of aging and begin to consider retirement and even your own morality. You may can no longer relate to younger people in the way you did a few years ago, and outward appearance, as well as people's perspective for you, changes. Unfortunately, we live in a society which values youthful experience over experience as you reach middle age, and you can begin to feel sidelined. Jaded relationships. Some may feel that part of their unhappiness stems from a dry relationship. Others may stay in an unhappy relationship for the sake of the children or financial reasons which are no longer relevant and decide that now is a good time to part. We know that changes in midlife can take both parties by surprise. Some people have walked out on their marriages at 20 and 30 years together. Surviving this phase is about your personal ability to cope with changes and the way you and your partner faces the changes together. Midlife doesn't have to single an end of fun and excitement or the end of your relationship. It's time. It's a time when you have more financial and emotional freedom than ever before, so this is a time to embrace the change, and all the better if you have someone to share it with and start to begin life. But middle-aged activates, like I said, our deepest anxiety and declines and dying. The more stress and fear in early childhood is that there's, as I said, there's no life after you. But I want to take a moment and kind of look at what middle age usually regards a vague interim period. It defines primarily in negative terms. One is no longer young and yet not old. The notations of youth are vitally growth, mastery, the heroic, whereas old connotes vulnerability, ending, the break of nothingness, or overly negative imaginary of old age adds greatly to the burden of middle age. It is terrifying to some people to go through middle age in the shadow of death, as though one were already old, and is a self-defecting illusion to live in the shadow of youth as though one were still simply young. And we know the term that many people use, that you're not old, age is a number. You're not old until you feel number. And then sometimes they ask the question, what is old? Approximately 80% of the people in Levinson's study experienced the transition into middle age at the time of crisis that come with the realization that time was getting short and that important life goals were not likely to be reached. Now, crises don't always come at middle life. I have come to believe, or he has come to believe, that there is no single, predictable, universal adult experience. There are many rights on professors. As people fear the changes and realities of middle age, there are four S situate things I want to bring for you. And I don't know if I have time to do them all, but I do as many as I can. And we'll think about the four S situations. Four S's, we think about situation, self, support, and strategies that determine whether or not this will be a time of crisis. Now, when we look at situations, it refers to the way one sees life. Are the transitions and changes of middle age seen as positive? And you can put on to that when you're middle age or when you're at retirement. It gives you a little bit more flexibility, a little bit more freedom. You don't have to go to the job and try and get time off when you're tired. You can kind of like do things to kind of like enhance your ability to enjoy life. You can expect challenges or negative, unexpected, and dreaded. Our marriages, occupational, religion, family, leisure, or other areas of life satisfying, are they frustrating and inhabiting? Does the individual have hope and expect optimism that things will get better, or is there deeper despair and a feeling of being trapped? Those are questions we need to ask ourselves when we get into middle age. Are we going to be negative about it? Are we going to be positive about it? Are we going to go about it the way that the Bible says? Because when you look at the situation and being created in the image of God ourselves, that if we have taken care of our bodies and if we do things that eat right and do exercise and do things that we can stay healthy and have a great middle-aged life. When we think of our self-perception, it's important in answering these three questions. What is the middle-aged person like? Does he or she have the skills, experience, and self-confidence to cope with the stress of middle life? How has the person dealt with change in the past? Is he or she optimistic about and able to handle uncertainty and ambiguity. Those are questions we have to ask ourselves. Are we ready to look at ourselves as being successful? We've worked all of these years. We're retired now. We should have things already in plan as to what we're going to do, and not just go home and just sit there and look at TV or you need to have some kind of plan with retirement as well. Support. Do you refer to one's financial access and job security or religious belief, along with the encouragement of family, close friends, post-mentors and co-workers? Whatever we deal with, transitions, including the change of middle life, it is helpful to have people around you who are supportive and positive. Too often, however, the comments and actions of others makes the problems worse. When you listen to their complaints, when you listen to them coming with negativeness, that's something that if you're already feeling like there are things that you need to do to bring changes and to bring hope and to bring take away the stress, you certainly don't need any more negativeness added to it. The next one I want to give you, and the last of the S's, is are the techniques people use to cope with. The creative and successful copper use a number of strategies. He or she realized that there is rarely one magical, always successful way to deal with changes. Research indicates that life changes appreciatively become between early and middle adults. Men, for example, tend to become more reflective and compassionate, less bothered by inner conflict and external demand, more loving and gentle. Women, in contrast, often become more interested in career and successful involvement outside the home. In both sexes, according to Eric Erickson, there will be a stagnation unless the individuals move into the strategy of general relativity. An active involvement in encouraging and guiding the next generation. Middle life problems can have a variety of causes, but these can be characterized into four categories of change: physical, psychological, vocational, and material, family. And I don't think I have enough time to go into all of them, but I do want to touch on one of them, and that's physical changes. Living in a society that values youth, and we know that they do, and we should value youth because they are the generation that are coming and following us. So many of us are reluctant to see the physical changes that come with middle age. Gray hair, baldness, coarser skin, bags under eyes, less relevancy in movement, a decrease in physical strength and stigma, the loss of youth appearance and changes in body build all the care in middle life and all are visible reminders that we are aging. Few people take these changes as lightly as the middle-aged movie actress who remarked that her bust and her hip measurements were the same as ever, except for the fact that within recent years, everything had slipped down into down about 6 inches. More often, middle-aged people realize that they are developing a middle-aged bread, whereas body fat is only 10% of the body weight in adolescence and at least 20% in middle age, and most of this settled around or between the waist. As bust and chest get smaller, the abdomen and hips get larger. All of this can lead appearance conscious people to diet, exercise, and give more attention to clothing and cosmetics. Many people in middle age reach a new awareness of the need to take better care of their bodies. And as I was telling you, we have to make sure that our bodies is the temple of God. We have to make sure that we eat right, we get the right amount of sleep, and we nurture ourselves. Just like we have nurtured our children and nurtured, many people that are our loved ones. We have to learn, and we find as we get older, we find that we will lacking ourselves to take care of others when, in fact, we need to take care of ourselves as well. We need to put priorities on things that we need to do for ourselves as well. So when we think about that, psychological change, some have observed that middle age come when we start counting the years backwards from the time of retirement or death rather than forward from birth. So we want to make sure that we don't be bored, that we find things that we can do, and that we surround ourselves with people who are positive. Sometimes people go back to school. And you need to get something positive that's going to keep you to where you want to make sure that you're in positiveness and that you are ready to enjoy middle age. Middle age doesn't mean that it should be a problem. Middle age means it's time to enjoy life and enjoy the journey, because life is a journey. Back to you, Dr. McCoy.
Thank you, Dr. Castor. Certainly, it was an eye-opening, certainly, to, I'm quite sure, to many people that are listening to Dr. Castor on today to hear the woman of God as she counsel you and as she given you some of the insights, some things that you may have not thought about, some things that you that will make your life more pleasant, and that you don't have to dread of getting older, but you can settle that you can be able to enjoy each year of your life. I believe she began to talk about the patriarchs and told us about how old they were, how old they lived to be. And all she told us also in the present day, the ages of the men and women, how they, of the ages that they usually live. Some people do live 105, 106, and 7, or whatever. But the thing about it is, we need to be able to enjoy life. Don't look at your life as it being over, but just think about the great things and awesome things and things that you have encountered, things that you have done, the contributions that you have made in your life. And these same contributions that you have made in your life, it can help someone else to be mature, to grow, to be able to reach goals and to be able to set goals. And I think that was one of the things you were saying about not being around people that are negative. You need to be around people that are positive. And by being around people that are positive, it will help your mindset. It helps you want to get up every day. It'll help you want to strive to in different areas of your life. I believe she mentioned something about exercising or going to a gym. And if she didn't mentioned that, those are some things that you can do, because she's talked about the things that happen in your body. It changes. It doesn't stay the same. It wasn't our body, even from an infant, you know, it changes. You know, an infant does not stay a baby. So it changes. And so do we have to change in our lives as well. But it's not something as a being a downfall. It's nothing that we should look at being negative. It should be something that we're aspiring to be better men or better women, that we can also give others that opportunity to glean from our lives. So I don't know what age you may be today. I don't know whether or not you're age 40. 40 is a young age in these days. 45, 50, 60, people do not look at the age as they did a long time ago. But I want you to know today that don't let anything keep you from dreaming. Nothing keep you from having a vision. Nothing keep you from going those places and doing those things that you can do. Yes, I do. I am am aware that some things that even as Dr. Norma talked about on last week, that there are some things that as a mature person, a person is growing into middle age, then and getting older, some things you're not going to be able to do. But there is things that you don't necessarily have to stop exercising. It's the type of exercising that you may be doing, or you don't have to stop doing certain things. You can be a blessing to people and to yourself. So when I think about what Dr. Gloria Castor shared with us today, it let us know the causes of middle age problems, some things that cause, some things that we don't necessarily have to go through, but it's a matter of us taking care of ourselves in every area of our life, in every year of our life. We need to keep our mind active and afresh. Don't just stay home. Don't have any activities. Don't engage in things that Dr. Castor was sharing with us. We need to exercise our minds. And even if you want to go back to college, oh my goodness, it is that opportunity to go back, because there are many men and women, you know, they have grown even past middle age, and they are still growing. They're still gleaning. They're still exercising their mind. They're still teaching, and they want to even learn more. So we want to let you know today that it's not a time to give up. It's not a time that even if you want to work at a certain age, if you know, sometimes people get to retirement age and they say, I'm quitting. I don't want, you know, I think I should quit because, you know, I don't want to get fired. So if you're doing a great job and you're capable of doing a great job and giving, you know, you should continue to work. And don't let anything stop you. And of course, common sense would tell you if you're not able to do the job, then you should think about retiring before they ask you to do so, to leave your position. So some things we have to learn ourselves and through ourselves and feel comfortable doing it, but you got to know who you are. There was a young woman, she was past middle age, and I remember because of the fact that this young woman, I don't exactly know what age she was, but I do know she was over 70, maybe in the 80s, I'm not quite sure. But I remember about a year ago, we had a certain event, and it was a conference, and we had an awesome time, and it was wherein that we needed models to model. And one of the women that modeled for us, she was very much past middle age. But she was like the star of our conference because of the way that she carried herself. She was so beautiful. She had so much appalled. She didn't let anybody tell her what she could do or what she could not do, because she felt that she was capable of doing it. So when she came out, it was a awe. It was, oh, look at this woman. She was a woman that did not let people dictate to her as to what she could do or what she could not do. And because she didn't, this was her job, this is what she did as a young woman. And at the age that she was at that time, she was still doing an excellent job. So saying all of that, we need not think of getting into a rocking chair or getting into a home for convalescent or some kind of place where in a nursing home or whatever. If you don't have to, you can still be a giver. You can be a writer. You can be one that performs. You can be one that teaches. You can elevate, you know, being ahead of yourself as well as others. So what I'm saying to you today, don't look at middle age as being an age wherein that you're going to have to throw in the towel and you're looking for somebody else to time that we could talk about middle age. And at this time, we're getting ready to go to Dr. June Normill, and she's going to talk about the effects of middle age. Dr. June Normill.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Dr. McCoy. Give an honor to God for allowing me to be before you today, and also to you, Radio Land. I thank you for hearing my voice today. My topic today is preventing problems of middle age. Preventing problems of middle age. When you talk about the word prevent, you're talking about preparing, because you can't really stop middle age from coming, but you can prevent and prepare yourself for the problems that may take a hand. And many years ago, a man by the name of Carl Jung, he's a psychiatrist, psychotherapist, he talked about, he noted in his book that we have schools and colleges to help people and young adults for everything, prepare for adulthood and prepare even teenagers for young adulthood. But he said, we have no colleges, no institution for 40-year-olds who need to be educated into the transition of life is becoming an older adult. And anyway, he used a scenario that we also come with. He said, if there was going to be a storm and we was told that it was going to be a storm, we could better prepare ourselves for when the storm comes. Just like a hurricane, even the meteorologist might say, there's going to be a hurricane tomorrow night about 6 o'clock. So what we'll do is prepare before that hurricane comes. We'll go get our canned perishable food, we'll go get our water, our flashlight, our batteries. We prepare ourselves before that storm comes, knowing that we can't stop that storm from coming, but we could prepare ourselves for having so many problems when it do come. Same thing with the transition of the middle age. It says preventing problems of middle age. And the middle age that we're talking about, and like Dr. McCord say, these day and time, it's different with the hands of time, how it was when a 40-year-old was capable of doing back then, can't touch what they could do right now. It's just different. People developing different in their body as they're growing up and as they're becoming young adults and as people are older. Like I say, a lot of people, even in older season age, I say well-seasoned, you can't even tell. They seem like they might in their middle age. It all depends on how one's carried themselves and how they embrace life. But the middle age, it can be a problem, especially during the early years. But I say it depends on how you embrace life, it could be a problem. But, you know, they also sense of positive things, and it must be discussed. It got to be talked about for people to even be able to receive that. They just know something that's going along different, because when you're growing up in your middle age and young adulthood or anything, a lot of times people are caring you. People are supporting you. People are aiding you. And when you get in that middle age, it just what all you had on use for your foundation, your preparation time, is all going to kind of kick in you get by the middle age, because when you become a certain age, it's like no one's going to be able to sit there and wipe your mouth for you. You're a certain age, you're accountable to be able to carry your own, and you've been taught these things. The same thing is the age of 40, and there's a lot of positive things about the thing of the age of 40. A lot of times it's the world, and even in reality, and I'm saying the world because a lot of things you just can't take for what's been said, what happened 20 years ago, 100 centuries ago, it ain't happening like that. Now, things are different. Times are different. The atmosphere are different. People are different. Laws are different. But it all depends on how the individual embrace their middle age and be able to prevent problems from happening to them. And you got to think about the positive things. And there's a lot of things positive could go on in your life as being 40. Like I said, your foundation was set. And they expect at the age of 40 that a person should be able to be settled, having found your place in life by the age of 40. You shouldn't, you know, it all depends on the maturity of a person. You should be at the age of maturity around about 40, because by that time you should be around to still, you know, as the world say, sow your oaks or whatever, try to test this, water that, water. At the age of 40, you should be able to find your place your foundation, like what is it going to be, just your middle age of your life right there. And you should be free from the demands or responsibility or raising small children, because a lot of times people, they give birth when they're younger, and by the time they get up to 40, it's like, oh, no, I'm not even at that point to have no kids. But I must say this. Even we have heard in the past of some of that teaching, and it's true. Like I say, everybody is different. It's how they embrace life. It's how their body is made up, their mechanism, how they treat life. And you have some people at 40, they're at the point where they're just able to just no responsibility of raising children like they did when they were 20 years old and 30. They're beyond that point. But I must say, even now how time has, so rapidly shifting, some people are giving birth. I'm telling you, some people are giving birth, having children at the age of 40. Some people work as though when they get their foundation set up for so long, and they say by the age of 40, they just start having a family. So that's what I said, that to say that 40 is not the over the hill age. It's not that it's all over age. Some people are just beginning to be the prime time of their life. They don't have a secured in a job situation. They secured and they don't raise children. If they're going to raise children, they're not even having children. But if they choose to, some people are having children later in age. I'm talking about the healthy way. They're having children later in age that they're able to carry a child, and they start up at the age around about 40. And a lot of times at the age of 40, a lot of people are more financially secure. They have their finances in place, then they save it and everything, and they have good stability in their money at that age, at the age of 40, middle age. And they have their position and their prestige, you know, and leadership in the community. They're well known around by that age of what they have accomplished and what they're going to be. And at that age, they have more opportunity to travel and also and to increase wisdom. But a lot of times, they wonder why a lot of people don't know these things, because they don't talk about it. They haven't been taught that. They don't hear about that. The only thing they hear about that when you up to 39, you have a good time. And then anything after 40 is over here, but that's not true. Your life can begin wherever you started at. It depends on how you embrace life and what's going on in your body. 40 is not a defeated age. The middle age is not the defeat, the end of it. I think the middle age is the beginning of the end. It's the beginning of the end, because you got the choice right then to make it happen what you want to make happen. Because in the coming as a young adult and a teenager, people were preparing the way and molding and making you. But at that time, at the age of 40, you have in part and have been embracing a lot of situations. You have learned a lot of things by your accomplishment and also by your mistakes. By the time of 40, your maturity, that's the age of maturity, you should be able to know what's right, what's wrong, which way I'm going to go, is going to be left or is going to be right. That way, 40 is a beautiful age. And it all depends. People can also, you know, it can be helped to anticipate both the positive and the negative part of 40. It depends on, like I said, how you embrace life, if you want to the negative part. And it is some things beyond nature that we can't control, the negative part of 40. But we can learn how to walk in our seasonness and our middle age, the things we can't change, and knowing that we're not in it, the law of God say that he would never leave us nor forsake us. But a lot of times, another aspect of personal health, we have to be educated about middle age and the importance of middle age and the goodness of middle age. And a lot of times, we could be educated in family conference, couples retreat, Sunday school, classrooms. And a lot of times when people go to church, a church is the only thing that they look for. It's like a place of refuge for the individual when they get to go to church. And during the transition life, you have a lot of people that has been single all their life, raising children, raising themselves. They get to the middle age, and they just wonder, when is it going to start? When is it going to be, you know, pleasure? Because I'm quite sure everybody sometime or another in their life, they had gotten to the point. But just the question, not saying acting on, we got the question is this all life has to offer? Is this all it's all about? This situation, that situation, this all I have to live for? But then again, you go to the churches to be one of the most profound places that a person could be educated and be encouraged about the age of 40. The pastor, they talks about a lot of things. The ministers, we talk about a lot of different things. They are need for. We talk about salvation. We talk about love. We talk about forgiveness. We have all kind of youth programs. We have senior programs. We have marriage programs. And a lot of times, And that's good even for couples and individuals and singles, but right in the middle, you know, a person wondering, you know, what's going on for the middle? Because it seems like in the middle ages, what can I do? And if you just really can't physically and emotionally just jump into one of those areas, you do will feel left alone. You will feel left alone because very seldom you will hear about, okay, we better go back to the middle age group, the 40 group, but always the young people or the older people, even the people that are well over and seasoned, well over the middle age and seasoned, they have something for our seniors. They have a lot of programs for our seniors. They cause them to be rehabilitated and to keep their life going on with fire and vigor. And like I said, even for the young people, like I said, with that middle age, if you can't grasp it yourself, it will make you feel all alone. And a lot of times you get to go to the churches, and a lot of times we have to know within ourselves. Get involved with things and community programs. They have a lot of things for young people. You have to just get up there, get on the internet and explore, but in your churches should be the founded foundation or where a person in the middle age could be able to find that security, should be able to find that hope and be able to just have that assurance that life is worth living. And it's another man, his name, he's a pastor. His name is Ray Ortlund. And what he is, he's a pastor of a church in Nashville, Tennessee, and also he's a council member, and he's with the Gospel Coalition. And he has said a very profound quote. He said he gave some wise advice to his fellow church members who had passed the half-century mark. And we know that a century is 100 years. So half of that would be 50. So any people around about 51 and over, he gave some advice. He said, it's a quote, he said, don't huddle around with people your own age all the time. He suggested that, if we do, he said, when you die, everything you know will die too, because they'll be dying about the same time you do. In other words, I can see it so clearly what he's saying, and there's nothing wrong with being, people say, birds of a feather flock together, because you're 50, you have to just be around people at 50 or 60, 70, 80, they'll say at your age or whatever. But I'm telling you, you could be revived, you could be renewed and stuff according to your mind, so you think of your mind. Not only that, about being your surroundings, people you being around, you be around people with life, they will impart life into you. They will cause you even to be strong. But if you get around somebody who's always sick, always complaining, always down and out, and you hear so a man think is about it, so is he. You'll keep hearing that, you'll keep seeing that, and you'll be in the midst of that until you'll be just like that too. He say, you'll be dying the same time that we are, because we all in that same group who does that will be feeding off each other, and that's all thing we feed off is hopeless and just waiting to die. At that age, you feel like, no, I can't walk no more, because they see at a certain age and they do the wheelchair. So instead of me, I am capable to walk, but I think I just use the wheelchair because it has been said that at this age, and it's better for me to, easier for me to use the wheelchair. So I use the wheelchair. I won't walk. I won't exercise. That's what he's saying about that. But he said, pour your knowledge into people 20 or 30 years younger than you. And when you're gone, everything you taught them will be walking around this earth for another 20 or 30 years teaching others. And he said, extend your life. Even now, at the age we are, I don't care if you're 50, you're 40, impart wisdom, not nothing, you know, that's going to profit. Wisdom, things that you don't experience until younger people, younger than you, and it will help them, and they could be able to go on. They'll be able to avoid some of the things to prevent some of the problems that you had to go through. But they'll be prevent some of them because you had gave it to them. And also, and when the time is, it's like a legacy. It's just like, and when the time and season come, when we no longer could do anything that we normally did physically, and we not normally to be able to think like we always thought mentally, we may not, because our natural faculties may deteriorate in our five human senses, taste, hear, feel, smell, all that. It may be deteriorate, but as when we are capable and able, we impart that into younger people than us, like I say, 20, 30. And then when we were going on to be with the Lord, what happened was that same skills, that same vibe, that same information, knowledge, and wisdom we had, we have imparted to others, and they're able to walk. They're able to go to that next milestone, you know what I mean, avoiding and know how to prevent the problems of middle age, preparing themselves for it. And it's just like us being still alive. Our spirit is still alive in there because it's to somebody else younger that's going to be carrying on. And not just only this, it's in church. Teachers, they have a huge ability to reach out to that way because they always, with children, they always, you know, and so do youth leaders. They got the very good opportunity. And ourselves as being counselors, and a lot of people don't think, oh, I'm not capable of doing it, but all of us, whatever age we are, we have that same ability to impart what we have known and what we have experienced that will benefit somebody to somebody younger to us, younger than us, even in the 20s, 10 years younger, 20 years, 30 years younger, and it would be a legacy. It would be a legacy for us and a legacy for them to carry on. And then it seemed like that we would never die. We may have died physically, but spiritually, it's still rising in someone that's still living through somebody else. And it could be, and people think they don't feel like they could do that because they feel like you have to be a certain education level to be able to do that. I have to be on went to college to know how to do this, to say this to a person. It's not. It's just everyday life, everyday responsibilities that a person can do this. I'm going to tell you who all are capable of doing it. Like I say, it could be parents, teachers, youth leaders, any person working in the church ministry, anybody who communicates with each other, all of us have that ability. And no matter what age you are, because all the way down to every auxiliary in the church, all the way down to the, even the young teenagers, could be 18 and 17, those ones who may be assisting other adults, young adults in the nursery, and you are imparting things inside the little children from toddlers all the way to infants. And also employers, they can impart wisdom in 40, in the age of 40s, and people in the middle ages, book writers, magazine editors, government leaders, counselors, teachers, broadcasters, all can contribute to the prevention of middle age problems. God has placed all of us in an area, some another what you're doing, some area, whatever you're doing, is some kind of way that you can impart in someone else under you, and under the age of than what you are, regardless of what it is, as long as 10, 20, 30 years under you. And it could be the church was the most helpful place that it can because the church congregate all types of people in all ages. And it says members know the healing. One thing about church people, it says the members know the healing power of love. Christians know the truth of God's power. They have seen it. They have experienced. They read about it. We read about the Bible. We live it. We know that God have no discrimination of age is all things are possible to those who believe. We know that, and we could demonstrate the burden bearing and should characterize in the character by the Christian. And I could say a Christian, a true Christian, would be able to carry the love and support, and to be able to give and impart in you that God has given them at the measure of faith that they have to someone else. That at the age, the middle age, or whatever state you are, we're talking about 40 today, but the middle age that you can't. Start all over again. It's not the end of the world. And this caring, it could bring crucial support and guidance to people in the middle age. And they need to know that. And every age needs to know that. But we focus on the middle age people because they sometimes seem like they're stuck in the middle. Everybody has forgot. But I'm here to encourage you to know that God has not forgot. And you may not see him. You may not know him personally. And you may not be able to guess what I'm saying about. You may not even be a Christian, but by God, being God, loving all and everybody in the love of God, he will put a Christian person in your life to be able to encourage you, and it will give you words of wisdom and knowledge and understanding, and you will be able to enjoy your middle life. God bless you. Back to you, Dr. McCoy.
We would like to thank Dr. Norville for speaking to us about preventing problems of middle age. And we're just honored the Lord for the women of God that have talked to us today. And I know that there have been many that receive what God has given for them in order to share with you on today. It is so important that we think more of what God says about us than what people dictate to us about our own selves, or a negative mind will dictate to us about what we can do, what we can't do. Yes, we must use wisdom. knowledge and understanding in order to do the things that we that will concerning us. But sometimes we limit ourselves. Sometimes we don't go forward and do these things that we can do to bring joy and happiness and peace and contentment within our lives. It is important that you, even no matter what age that you are, that you still keep the joy, that you still have some peace on the inside, not you're because of the fight that you are worried or concerned about your limitation or things that you cannot do. But I like the scripture that the Lord said. He said that I can do all things through Christ Jesus that strengthened me. And that comes with wisdom. That comes with understanding. It comes with the revelation of God's word. So, you know, I think about, you know, Sarah, you know, she was at that age. She most likely thought that it was over. I'm not going to be able to do all the things that I did. I'm not going to be able no longer to bear a child. And even as we talk about before, at age 40, sometimes people say, well, you know, you got to have a child before you're 35, because when you're 40 years old, it's over. That is not true. You know, that is not true. Yes, we want to be, we want to do those things that's going to bring life to us, those things that's going to be a good thing in our lives, but we cannot shut down, stop living because of some limitations, because of some things in our life. But when we read the Word of God, it was proven to us that when God says certain things in our life, when God gives us the understanding, the wisdom, so that we can do their many things in our life that we can do in order to be happy, in order to make other people happy, then we are not limited. So as it was with Sarah, when she was able at an old age, 90 years old, to bring forth a child. And I know there are many people out there thinking, not even thinking about getting pregnant, having a child at 90 years old. I'm just trying to tell you, don't limit yourself as to what you can do. There are many people climbing mountains. They at an old age, there are people that doing there. They're doing sky jumping. I'm not telling you to go out there and get on a plane and jump. I'm telling you to think younger. Think that I some things that I can do. I'm talking about, as I said before, you can still write books. You can go to the library and you can teach and you can give your what God has already given you, because most people at this age have a lot of wisdom and they have knowledge and they have understanding. So there are so many things that you can do in order to help others, in order to keep yourself as well thinking, doing, and being active in many things. Don't shut down. Don't shut up. But allow God to use you. Again, we can do all things. I make it personally. I can do all things through Christ that strengthened me. On today, we're just so happy for Dr. Gloria Castor and Dr. June Normeal and the Crossroad Broadcast to be able to come to you to present to you. So at this time, we're going to go before the throne of grace, and we're going to ask Dr. Gloria Castor, would she please close us out with a prayer. Dr. Gloria Castor.
Eternal and Holy Father, what an awesome and mighty Father you are. We acknowledge that you're Father because you are the one in whom we live, move, and have our being. And we come right now at this time, Father, to ask your forgiveness for anything we've thought, said, or done. And now, Father, we thank you for the opportunity, God, that you used us today, Father. We pray that something was said or something was taught today, that someone would be changed, someone would receive it, someone would share it. Lord, let every ear that have heard and every heart that have received to know, Father, that the wisdom and knowledge that you put into your word and to your people is for the benefactor and for the elevation and for the revelation of your people. So we pray that revelation knowledge has moved throughout this broadcast today, and that others will receive it and will give it as you have given it unto us. Now we thank you, Father, for Dr. McCoy and the other panel and myself as we continue to bring this broadcast and continue to do what you have called us and impregnated us to birth out to your people. And we promise, Father, that we will never cease to lift your name up and give your name all of the glory, honor, and the praise. We take this opportunity to pray right now for someone who might be sick, someone who needs to be saved. We ask, Father, that they will read Romans 10:9-10 and know that if they confess with their mouth the Lord Jesus, and if we believe within their hearts that God has raised them from the dead, that shall be saved. Salvation is what is needed into the hearts and lives of your people today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. This has been the Crossroad Broadcast with Dr. Mary McCoy and the Crossroad Panel. Please join us next Monday at the same time as we again bring you the Crossroad Broadcast. May God bless and keep you, is our prayer.